welcome one, welcome all, step right up, step right up, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go, Portal Gaming Podcast, episode number 74, on its way, coming at you right now. Howdy, everybody. Portal Gaming Podcast is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. It is also a podcast brought to you by a store called The Portal, which is located in Manchester, Connecticut. For more information, you can log on to www.timemachineportal.com. You can check us out on Facebook, The Portal, and you can find us on Twitter, at PortalGaming60. Howdy, everybody. I am your host, The Brant, going solo today. It is a super busy, busy time of the year, but I want to make sure that I pause to say Merry Christmas, everybody. Happy Holidays, Happy New Year, all of those things. I hope that this is a great time for you to just relax, reflect, hang out with friends and family, focus on the things that matter, obviously matter more than board games, more than toys, more than hobbies, all those things. We really just want to take an opportunity. So I hope you get that chance this season to do that. I also hope, while you're doing that, that you get a chance to play some games with some new people. Maybe introduce some of your family members to some lighter fare. You know, keep it short, keep it simple. Nothing crazy. We don't have to throw some heavy strategy games at people. But, you know, use games as a way to relax, to get to know your family, to converse, to get away from your electronics, to get away from your politics, to get away from your differences, and just have a great time. Laugh together, you know, strategize together, whatever it may be, and just have fun. So we want to say that to you. Yeah, so super busy here. In fact, I am recording, no lie, in my bedroom right now, and I can hear the echo, so it's probably going to be a little annoying for those of you who are a little over, a little heavier on the audio end for this episode. But we are just in crazy busy mode right now, so my wife is downstairs, and she is working on many, many things, prepping for Christmas, and we are getting ready, because tonight, this is Friday, actually, I think I'm going to release this the same day, unless I don't get to it, then it'll be tomorrow on Saturday. So today's the 22nd, tomorrow will be the 23rd, and we're prepping. Tonight is our rehearsal, big Christmas services tomorrow. We always do them on the 23rd. It's just how our church rolls with that, and my wife is directing the service. I am emceeing the service, and we've both been writing various pieces for it because we do a lot of original stuff. So super busy on that front. So that kind of kicks off for us tonight. So we've got to get all our... No, we are done with all of our shopping and those things, and then we're prepping all the cooking and wrapping and just getting ready to travel afterward, locally for us. But yeah, we're really excited for this service. We've been putting a lot of time and energy into it. We're going to double it up, do it twice, and really hope people enjoy that. So makes our little pre-Christmas here busy, but we kind of like that. We like to be involved in things and doing things and, you know, presenting things for people, performing, and just getting people to pause and think and all that kind of stuff. So that is that. I hope you are doing well. I hope you've gotten a chance to play some games lately, but if you haven't, maybe you're going to get a break here. I know retail-wise, it's totally different. I was just talking to Brian last night, and I was saying, you know, with teaching, like, okay, school's kind of, we're starting to shut down now, and he's like, okay, because things are really ramping up for me at the store. So it kind of reverses. So I know if you're in retail and some of those things, and obviously to firefighters, police officers, healthcare workers, and others of that nature, we know that this is an important time for you to be working as well. So we say thank you to you for doing that and keeping us running here. So there is that. Yeah, so I'm flying solo here. So my plan is to chat with you about a couple games I've gotten to play lately, and then I'm going to rank my Star Wars games. Now, I made a long list of Star Wars games. I'm not going to try to find every Star Wars game in existence here, but I'm going to rank some of the ones that I've played more often than others. So that's why I'm titling this episode, episode 74, The First Order. There's a little play on words there. All right. So this one is the First Order. We'll go with that. Don't really have a lot of announcements on events and things upcoming, but do definitely check out the store. You know, it's in full gear. Lots of things are happening. Obviously, at this point, with people listening to it, probably be on the other side of Christmas if that's something that you're celebrating. But, you know, get down to the store, check things out. Thursday night board gaming, Sunday board gaming. Maybe if you got some extra time, you could definitely do that. I may try to show up earlier on Thursday and just be around. And I've got a whole pile of stuff that came in lately that I've got to play through and review for you here. So I've got a whole bunch on that end. So I should be around a little more this week there. But definitely check out events. I know there's Destiny, Star Wars Destiny. There's tabletop gaming, Magic all the time, the board game meetups. There's new stuff coming in. There is a large chunk of games that are getting released post-Christmas that just couldn't quite make it Christmas time. I know Pulsar 2849 is in there, which is an excellent game. Dinosaur Island, which is like a Jurassic Park themed game, is going to be coming out the week after Christmas, and I believe Venus Next is either that week or the week after, which is the expansion for Terraforming Mars, which is obviously uber popular. So those will be there, so definitely, you know, run down, throw in your pre-order at the store, check those things out, or just stop in to play a game and hang out and say hi to everybody working down there and whatnot. Or just tweet me on Twitter and let me know what you're playing. Be awesome to know. Love just chatting with people even across the country. That is exciting. So that's pretty much it in terms of events. So I'm going to jump in and talk about some games that I have gotten to play lately. So I'm going to start off here with Chameleon. So Chameleon is a game from Big Potato Games, I want to say. And Chameleon is, if you've played Fake Artist Goes to New York or you have played Spyfall, it's very similar. So everybody gets dealt a card and it tells you, it either gives you a grid for dice, when you're going to roll dice, and everybody's is the same, or it says, you're the chameleon. And so then you're going to roll the dice, and you're going to look on the grid, and you're going to say, you're going to roll the dice, look on your grid, and it's going to tell you to look on a common grid card and pick a word on there. So it might be world leaders, it might be historical events, it might be geographic locations, zoo animals, classes in school, something like that. And there's 16 of them listed. And everybody, when you roll the dice, you kind of figure out. And they're kind of randomly assorted on your little card. It's the only ones who know. And you're going to find out what the kind of buzzword is or the code word, but the chameleon doesn't know. And then everybody has to come up with a word that they are going to let everybody know. I know what the word is. And everybody's going to go around and say their word. It's really important. We do like a thumbs up thing. Everybody, okay, I'm ready to say my word. And then boom, 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 boom. You just say your words. And then people have to guess who they think the chameleon is because they couldn't guess the word. The real trick, the second layer of the game, is that if you guess who the chameleon is, they get one shot to try to figure out what the word is that you were guessing. So you can't be too close and too obvious as to what you're saying, because then the chameleon will win because you'll find them, but they'll guess what the word is. So that's it. I mean, explaining the game just took me a minute or two. Playing the game takes a minute or two, and then you just keep playing. It's pretty fun. It's pretty exciting. At first, people are kind of like, meh. And then as you kind of learn more, they get into it. They see that second layer, I think, is really key. That, oh, now I can't be super obvious, you know? If the class is math, I can't say algebra, because they'll figure that out. So I have to say something else, you know, that would be a little bit different to clue people in terms of that. So that is Chameleon. That's a fun little party game. Doesn't take long. Comes with like two sets of cards, so you can keep shuffling and keep playing, which I thought was pretty cool in terms of that. So that was a neat little one. Next up, I got to play Charterstone. We just started, so Kathy and I are playing with two friends of ours, and we dug in. So Charterstone is a brand new game from Stonemaier Games, Jamie Stegmaier, Scythe fame, Viticulture fame, those games of that type. And so he designed Charterstone, which is a legacy game. So I will not spoil, I promise. So we got to play one. It's pretty nice so far in terms of the game basically teaches you how to play. There is a rule book, but you draw cards and the cards say, read this in the rule book and learn about this. Read this in the rule book, learn about this. The game is a worker placement game. It's It's light. It's definitely a light worker placement game at first, but the choices aren't bad in the first game. They're not like, oh, this is so obvious. I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to do that. And you're not even really thinking. It's just scripted. They're definitely interesting choices. I guess since I can't spoil much, but there are like options, and there's some other cards you can gain for upgrades, and there's other things you can do. And in the first game, we were unlocking a lot of new things, which is really fun. This is what Pandemic Legacy Season 1 does so well, is it has you unlock right from the start in that first game. And this did really well. When we were finished, the first game probably took us like an hour and a half or so. Maybe two hours. I don't know. We were kind of chatting. There was a lot of things going on. It was kind of a Saturday afternoon thing. But everybody really enjoyed it. We were ready to play again. We got to name some things on the board, which was really exciting. Is that a spoiler? Whatever. Really wanted to gear up to play again. So I think the game is more like 45 minutes to an hour with the four of us is where it's going to be. And then you play 12 games of it. And then I will report back as to how the game is once we're finished to let you know. But that's the idea. I guess I can't really say a lot. I think it's somewhat silly. Because there's not really too much to spoil in this game. It is a light, I'm going to guess, jump up to medium Euro game by the time we get there, because I can already see it ramping up with what we're adding. And it's solid. The presentation is great. It's exciting to keep opening those cards. And the other three haven't really played Legacy games. So I'm seeing that joy of that idea of Legacy. And it's well done here. Not a lot of story. The story's pretty bland and generic, so I could definitely see if Pandemic was just like a hands-down amazing game for you, that Charterstone might lose that element without the story, but I don't really know because I've played one of the 12. But so far, totally enjoying it. Everybody's looking forward, and I'll report back as I go, probably not after like two more plays, but maybe after four or five more plays, I will let you know. But so far, really good. Okay, I got to play this little game that I'm kind of excited about called Gaia Project. So for people who don't know, Terra Mystica is my number one game, and Gaia Project is the same designers, and it literally says on it, a Terra Mystica game. So I did talk about this in the PAX Unplugged episode, and I got a chance to play three rounds. I now have gotten to play two whole games of it, and I think four solo games. So I guess that's six games I've played. And it's great. It's a great game. They did a great job. Just building on, you know, what I consider a masterpiece already in Terra Mystica. The theme is now space, and the major differences is first off the board. So there are planets, and then there's empty space, still hexes. It is a variable board, so you can kind of pick up and shuffle the tiles and put them out. That's different, whereas Terra Mystica, you had to, like, get new boards, new maps. This one has variable setup right from the start. It's awesome. There's 14 new races in the box. But with all that space there, you're now having to build pretty far. You don't have adjacent locations that you can terraform like you could in Terra Mystica. So it really makes you like move out and find ways to do that. Along those lines, there are now Gaia planets, which are green planets that anybody can build on, but you have to have these special quantum intelligence cubes or quick cubes to be able to do that. So it's kind of like anybody can go here, but it's a race to get there, and then that allows you to extend from there. There's also these transdim planets, where essentially like gaseous planets, that you have to do this Gaia forming on. And when you Gaia form a planet, it will then turn into a green Gaia planet that only you can build on. And that little system is overwrought the first time. Like, it's too much there, and you're confused, and you kind of ignore it, and then you go, why am I even doing that? Who cares? And then it just makes sense as you play more. It's giving you an opportunity to get to planets that are closer without having to increase your navigation, which lets you travel across the map. And that's the reason it's there. There are tiles that score off of that can come out. There's lots of variable setup in this game. There's end game scoring tiles, there's end of round scoring tiles. The game takes place over six rounds. There's various other tech tiles that come out. It's a heavy game, for sure. But it's solid. This package is great. There's some warping in the boards, but then my boards de-warped. They went back down. I'm not sure. I heard some issues that people had them warp, unwarp, and warp again, and I haven't heard follow-up from there. So I'm not sure where that's going to be. I like the pieces. They went from wood over to plastic-shaped pieces. I really could take it either way. It's not really like, oh, suddenly it's a mini. I wouldn't call these minis. They're just shaped pieces. Doesn't bother me in terms of that. So other differences from Terra Mystica. So now you put all the tech tiles out, and they're randomly placed, and then you can move up the different tech tracks. And that can feel a little bit like you're boxed in. I really want this tile, but I don't want to move up on that track. I guess in Terra Mystica, it was like this tile only moves me up this track. So you really didn't have options. Now, from game to game, it'll change. So that is a little bit different. The races didn't feel super varied, but I think they really focused on making seven of them very straightforward and easier to play out of the box, and then the other seven more complex. I don't know that they quite get to the complexity that you have in the Fire and Ice expansion in Terra Mystica, but I'm sure it's coming. I'm sure they're going to release expansions, and we'll see more of that and really turn things on its head. But I definitely have some seeing more races that I'm like, oh, that's different in terms of that. One silly change is you now have like resource trackers, so you just move your resources up and down. Personally, I love holding 17 coins in my hand. I think that's exciting. And 8 workers and 2 priests and sitting there like, okay, I'm holding all of this and now I have to work with it. And this just has trackers. It doesn't feel quite as fulfilling. But I don't care. It's not like I'm like, oh, I'm not going to play the game because I'm not holding the pieces. And I can't do that. So the big question becomes Terra Mystica or Gaia Project? And, you know, I want to answer this question. I think the answer is Gaia Project. I think it's better. I think I would just teach people Gaia Project, and they streamline certain things. There are other changes. I didn't mention all of them. But there's definitely a change of thought with having to, like, travel across the galaxy a little bit more and all that. And there's some unique things in Terra Mystica that I would go back to. So I actually played a couple games of Terra Mystica on my phone just to kind of, like, be able to compare and remember Terra Mystica. For me, it's just one of these, I'll play Terra Mystica this week and Gaia Project that week, and then Gaia Project this week and Terra Mystica that week. And I very much view them like King of Tokyo, King of New York. Race for the Galaxy, Roll for the Galaxy. Those ones are definitely, you know, significantly different, but they're still the same idea. And so I know it's a cop-out to say both. I know for Kathy, the fantasy theme is more exciting for her than the space theme, and that alone would point her towards Terra Mystica. So I really think when I rank these, I just say Terra Mystica / Gaia Project. Is there enough different to say it's a different game? Yes. But is there inherently really anything different? No. It's almost like playing a different Age of Steam map, or a different Concordia map that also comes with its own rule set. Oh, because things are so spread out, here's how these rules change. I like the tech tracks instead of the cult tracks, but you do lose some of that race element, race for race sake, which is silly, but kind of nail-biting, whereas in here you just score points. However far I get, I score points. And that's great, because then I know what I'm scoring and I know what you're scoring, but there's no indefiniteness. So you lose a little bit of that piece. But all in all, there's no doubt in my mind that Gaia Project is not like some mistake or step backwards from Terra Mystica. It is awesome. It is a $100 price tag. But this is my favorite game of all time. My favorite game is now Terra Mystica / The Gaia Project. And that's from Z-Man Games. And then last, I got to play Agra last night. Brian and I both played this. Hopefully we'll get his thoughts in the future. So Agra is a game from Michael Keller. Michael Keller made Solarius Mission and La Granja. La Granja, phenomenal. I absolutely love that game. Really, really good. Haven't played Solarius Mission. So Agra's the new one. This is from Quinid Games. And this game is beautiful. Component-wise, I guess it's solid. There's really good wooden chunky bits and everything. The artwork is amazing. Michael Menzel did this board. It is beautiful. I think the backs, I know the back side of the board is just the art, so you can see that. Then there's this board, this Akbar board that you lay out with all your guilds and everything that just looks great. So, you know, all that artwork is just top notch. This is a top game of the year for, you know, design and components and all that. Well, I'll be careful. The graphic design over the artwork on the board is tricky. It's not bad once you start playing the game, but it's not intuitive. They have these tiny little pencil line arrows that move to things that are really hard to see. The boxes are not boxes. They're like faded to allow the artwork to come through, but they're really hard to see. And then you have arrows that go up through palaces and gates on the board and then come out the other side. And it's just brutal to try to see that because these pencil line thin things. So luckily there's like color coding. And like I said, it really doesn't slow you down once you're playing the game. But as you add pieces, you just kind of lose like where the boxes are and what's going on. And it just doesn't, that flow is kind of confusing in terms of all that. But there's that. So we are in, I believe it's 16th century India, and it is Akbar, the leader's birthday, and we are presenting him with gifts. We're producing goods. We're processing those goods into further goods. So logs turn into wood or paper. Paper turns into books, etc. There are other notables that we are delivering goods for. When we do, we get money. Money, which are rupees, is the endgame victory condition. And also, you get several abilities. You get powers that you can use. Upgrades. So the game essentially is a worker placement game. At the beginning of your turn, you do a little meditation phase so you can put workers, knock workers over that are already on the board to score meditation points. Earn, I think is what I would say. And then spend meditation points to do various effects. Then your turn is you place your worker on a space. If somebody else's worker is there, you kick it back to them. They get a favor, which they can use for other bonus actions on their turn. If their worker was standing up, if their worker was lying down, then they don't get anything. So that's why if you lied on your workers. And then you do your worker placement space. There's four characters at the top who can help you like deliver goods, get more goods, exchange goods, and build buildings to be able to process goods. And then the board itself is just producing goods and processing goods there. And then at the end of your turn, you can deliver either a gift to Akbar or a contract to a guild on the board up there. And those will give you a lot of end game points is really what they're mostly focused on. You're trying to get rupees in this game. There's a merchant that travels around, a builder. The merchant drops coins and gives influence if you go there. So it kind of like favors spaces. It makes spaces more enticing for people as the game goes on. So it's a heavy Euro game. And really what makes this game heavy is following that flow of actions. Like, okay, I have to process here, then build this building. Then I can immediately, produce. Then I can immediately process after I build that building. Other people can process to follow me. Now I've got to put those goods somewhere and maybe process them again or figure out where I'm going to trade them. But when I build a building, I want to make sure I have goods I can process to take advantage of that. And it's following that whole flow. Now, where that's not so bad is that you can very often find a way to do something. Meditation points, favors, your action, bonuses from other cards. So there's lots of ways to be able to turn goods into other goods. It almost becomes a negative. I don't really want to produce something, process, and then process again. That's long. That's three turns. Odds are, if you need one book, you can do it easier. You can do it in one turn. Process wood, spend favor to turn it into paper, and then have some other power, or maybe the start of your next turn, meditate to push it into a book. And that's neat because you feel like you have a lot of options. That leads to a decent amount of AP, although we played this game faster than I thought. It was about 2 hours, and I thought it was going to be three. But my issue is there lies in that it's really hard to read the other players. Like, oh, I'm going to produce these, and next turn I'll ship them. Can anybody else ship them? I don't think so. And then suddenly they can. Like, oh, they did this, followed by that, followed by the favor they got from the player after me. And they were able to do it. And I can't read that. Like, I just can't go and read everybody's board and figure out what they're going to be able to do and get my timing down. And so, like, one of the players we were playing with, I know, felt like I was always behind on the guild contracts. I had one set up, and then somebody fulfilled it, and then I set up the next one, and somebody fulfilled it, and I was always one step behind. So you could say, well, play one ahead. Yeah, but then maybe somebody jumps in there, or that was my biggest difficulty with the game, was there was always ways to do things, it seemed like, which is fun, because you can think that out, but it was hard to prevent players from not taking the actions you're trying to do. Or very simply, you're like, oh, I'm going to put this worker here and then meditate next turn, and they bounce it back to you, and you get a favor that you don't need. You needed the meditation point. So all in all, I thought it was a really good game. I did really enjoy it. It just didn't move into that amazing category, and it was hard for me to know, like, when am I going to get this game out again, and am I going to teach this to three new people again? In terms of all that, the game is beautiful. It eventually makes sense. There's flow there, but it was kind of choppy. And like, you build buildings, but then you don't really want to process with them again. And that kind of felt counterintuitive. Like, once something's built, you don't use it. it was interesting. Points were pretty close. We were all within 10 or so of each other. So that wasn't a major issue. But that is Agra from Quinid Games, Michael Keller. A really fun game. Not sure if it was amazing. I would totally play it again, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be the person to be pushing to get it to the table. So there you go. Those are four games that I have been playing lately. Let me know what's on your table, what you've been playing lately. And we're just going to roll right into the next section, as I do in solo episodes. And I'm just going to move on to this part where I'm going to rank my favorite Star Wars games of all time. So, first off, I didn't really put a lot of Hasbro-esque games. You know, every time a new episode gets released going all the way back to the 90s, there are multiple of these games, you know, that come out for kids, and these dice games and matching games and all. And I'm not going to run through all those. I will mention a couple because I think they stood head and shoulders above the rest. Yeah, all in all, we'll kind of go from there. So let me run through. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 of them. So I'm going to start with number 13, and that's going to be the Empire vs. Rebellion game. This is a two-player game that came out from Fantasy Flight. I don't think this is a bad game, but I've only gotten to play half of the game. Now, it's based on a game called CIA vs. KGB, which I have played with my wife several times and is enjoyable, not great by any means. There are many, many, many better two-player games, but it's fun. It's worth playing, and I would check this game out, but I haven't really played this one completely, so I'll throw that in at number 13. Number 12, I'm going to call the Star Wars TCG. This was the trading card game. This one came out right around Attack of the Clones, and I believe it was from Wizards of the Coast. So this was a, you know, CCG-style game with different arenas. I thought it was really fun when I was playing it. It was neat to build decks. One idea I loved in this game was they made, like, common, uncommon, and rare versions of all the main characters. So when you opened a pack, you got, you know, Darth Maul. You got Anakin Skywalker, boom, right off the bat. Now, it was the common version, but who cares? Let us play with these characters. I don't want to fight in an arena with some person I've never heard of, that's some alien creature that's named in the background of somewhere. I mean, it's cool when I get those and they can do something and I get to learn about them, but I want the iconic Star Wars characters. So they did a great job with that. And then what you could actually do is, as you got better versions, you could replace and you could enhance them. It was really neat, but it was kind of like a lot of dice rolling and a lot of chaos and craziness. Really, probably this ranks 12 now because the game's just dead. It's just gone. So hard for me to throw that way up there in terms of where that would be. But that's that one for me. Number 11, this is probably sacrilege to some people, but I'm going to put Star Wars X-Wing at number 11. So Star Wars X-Wing is a very fun game. Lots of, you know, interaction, and you put your starfighters out. Great models. Obviously, this game is super popular. I don't know. Like, I had fun with it, but the like collecting and getting these models and then making all these crazy builds, like it's almost too complicated. I'd rather they just gave me the ship and it had everything on it, I guess. I mean, I like building things, but it just never really connected for me. I didn't do a lot with it. I think it's neat. I would play it. All these games, honestly, I would play, so they're all good to me. In terms of that, I kind of cut any of the ones I ever thought of that were like, nope, that's no fun. But that's Star Wars X-Wing. I don't really have a lot of it, so there's that element too of not playing them and going from there. So following that up almost immediately would be Star Wars Armada, kind of in the same boat. I do have this. I have the base game. I've played a little bit of it. I like it just a slightly better than that. I love having the ships. I'm dying to get an Imperial class Star Destroyer. It just seems funny to buy one because then I've got this ship that's like tons and tons of points, and I need to go get rebel ships to compare with it. But again, this is a game where I just don't have somebody to play on the other side. So maybe as my daughter gets older, she'd be interested. Maybe my wife would play, but she really doesn't like space games. Star Wars is okay. So that one moves up the list there. Next up on here, I'm going to put Star Wars Risk. So there is like Star Wars Risk, like regular Risk. And that's fine and well and good, but it's a Risk with a little Star Wars theme. I'm not really gonna like rank that in a Star Wars list of games. But this is kind of the newer one that came out, I think it was last year. And this is a version of Queen's Gambit, which will be higher on the list. And so really fun. Each player draws cards, and this is simulating the end battle of Return of the Jedi, where you've got Luke fighting Vader, and you've got the starfighter battle going on in space, and you've got Han and Leia on the ground trying to take over the command center bunker there. And it's really fun. Lots of dice rolling, lots of chaos, and that's what makes this game just wonderful. It's just all that chaos. So a really neat version of that, and really exciting as well. Number eight, I will put Epic Duels. So this is one of those Hasbro games that came out, and this game's just great. So what you do is you have, it's a miniatures game, and you get, you know, Darth Vader and two Stormtroopers, or you get Boba Fett and Jango Fett, or something like that, and you get a deck of cards for your team, and you draw cards, and they tell you, like, and then you roll dice, and that's how far you can move a character that turn, and then you can play a card to attack somebody, they can defend, and it's just straight damage, and you just go, go, go. There's actually not really dice rolling, I don't believe, outside of the movement, which makes it really interesting. So I think the cards are just, this one does seven attack, this one does two defense, I take five damage, and when you're dead, you're dead. And but all the characters are very unique. Some can heal, some can attack twice, some have like a big power move, some can jump all around the board. So there's really a lot of asymmetry for this little kid's box game, which makes it really fun. So that's a really fun one. I think the game like now goes for like $200 on the internet. So don't track it down. It's not that good in terms of paying that much money, but it's a solid little fun game there. Okay, number seven, I am going to put Star Wars Destiny. So this is the new dice game that's out from Fantasy Flight Games. It's neat. I really wanted to be able to play this with my daughter. There's just a lot of text. The difficulty to collect it, although now it's pretty easy to get to. I just haven't had my hands enough in this cookie jar, so that's where it probably falls further down the list. I'm probably backing away from some of this collectability right now. And because of the LCG, again, another spoiler, further up on the list, I would prefer to play that. I like that game a lot better. So this one, even though it has dice, and you would argue it's a different game, it feels the same to me, that two-player head-to-head. So I back off on this one a little bit. But Star Wars Destiny, great presentation. The dice are wonderful. Really enjoy that game. That comes in at number seven. So number six for me is Lupin Chewy. So Lupin Chewy is just a little rework of a dexterity game, a kid's dexterity game called Lupin Louie. And it's just really fun. I know you're like, why is this little kid's game so far up on your list? Whatever, take it with a grain of salt. But this game is played all the time. I bring this to school and the kids just play it, you know, when they have some free time or on a quick, you know, a shortened day or whatever. I've done that before. I put this out at VonnerCon. People just play it left and right. Kids come over, they're playing this all the time. So just because this is one of those games, it's so simple, it comes out all the time. People are always wanting to play it. I threw it up on the list. It's really fun. You sit down to play it, you're like, yeah, that's really fun. That's a great game. Number five is the CCG. Still love the CCG. In fact, my intro to the Time Machine, which is now the Portal, was when I was a kid. And I came and played Star Wars CCG there. This is the old Decipher game. Still have cards. Don't really play it, so you could argue that I should move it down the list because of that. But it definitely has that spot in my heart. This game's really good. I think this game would hold up today. The only major issue I remember from the game was you spread out and you build planets and then sites on all the planets. And I may have this amazing Hoth deck, and I've got Hoth and the generators and all these things, and I've got all this whole system working that if you came to battle me, like, I have the perfect defense with my snow speeders and everything. But you didn't build that deck. You built aliens that hang out in Jabba's palace on Tatooine. So you're over on Tatooine where all your aliens do really well, and I'm on Hoth, and at some point we decide one of us is going to go to the other and not be as powerful, and that can be a little awkward. So it's really fun if you take this game and say, make a Jabba palace deck, I'm going to make a Jabba palace deck, let's go. And then it works really well in the casual format. This game... Other things have done this, but the beauty of this game is your deck is your health. So you have 60 cards, 60 health. You draw cards, you now have less health. You have little lightsaber icons that generate force for you. Force is like your mana or your points you can spend. And you can spend those. They go to a used pile and then go back under your deck. Or you can use cards in your hand, in which case they go to your lost pile, which is your discard pile. You can't get them back. And then anything you don't spend from your force pile, you can draw that into your hand during your turn. So it's really, really great in that it's open. You're trying to manage your hand, your discard pile, your deck, and your health all at the same time. And then there's a lot of really smart things. So when you have to take damage, so like let's say you had 6 power and I had 2 and I have to take 4 damage, I can just discard 4 cards off the top of my deck. But that could be really punishing, or my character has like a value, and I can discard one of my characters that's worth 4 and only lose that one card from the site. So I'm making that really interesting choice. My character isn't inherently dead, but I'm choosing to lose them to not suffer as big a damage. There's also an attrition where you draw a force card and people are forced to lose some, so that battles don't just keep building up and building up and building up. But yeah, really smart, really well done game there. Number four is Queen's Gambit. I alluded to this before. So this is another old Hasbro game, although it came out under Avalon Hill. Game's just amazing. It's just so fun. You set this up. It's amazing looking. It's not one of the greatest games of all time, I guess, in terms of playing, but like the whole Star Wars look theme, they just did such a great job. You've got all 4 battles going on from the end of Phantom Menace. So you've got trying to break back into the palace with the Queen, you've got the Gungan army fighting the droid army, you've got Anakin up in space, and then you've got Darth Maul versus Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And you're playing cards, and you're rolling dice, and you're collecting all these extra free cards that you don't know what they do, and then you get all these bonus actions, and you're just blowing things up left and right. And I mean, this is like the fun dice chucker of all fun dice chuckers. That's what this game is all about, just like go, 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 go. And it's really fun, and the Star Wars theme totally helps it. In terms of that. So there you go, Star Wars The Queen's Gambit. Number 3 for me is Imperial Assault. This one is moving up the list with the new app that came out. I've almost finished that. I will be sad because then there's no more content till they put more on there. And I don't know that I'll get to play this in any other format, but the game's really good. It's really well done. The models are amazing. The boards, I know at first, when it first came out, people were upset the boards were small. There's a lot of components to keep track of, so organizing this is really key. The app does a good job of not organizing, doing too much for you, that it's now a video game, but it does help you hold on to like what cards did you have, what are your possibilities, all those kind of things, although you still need the cards to see what they do, so I thought that was pretty nice to have that, so you still have those in front of you. This game could be my favorite Star Wars game of all time if I could find a group to play it with, but I don't have that group. Hasn't worked with my daughter, hasn't worked with my wife. I may try, you know, a little bit with this mode and see. So if they add more to this, this could move up the list, but this is where it stands right now. My number 2 Star Wars game of all time is Star Wars LCG. This game is so good. It's Eric Lang designed. It is so smart. It's so well designed, but it's almost too smart and too complex for its own good. The Star Wars thing is there. The Star Wars theme is there. But a lot of people complain that, oh, this can attack, like, starfighters can attack Rancors, and we don't like that. I don't know. Get over it. Who cares? Doesn't bother me. You have all these objective cards that people have in front of them, and you have to try to attack their objective cards. And you can pick which ones you attack, and you can attack in any order. Now, this was a difficulty for me with Game of Thrones card game, but here it's awesome. I can choose who I'm going to attack when, and that order is so important. At first, you just throw everything out, and they defend with everything, and you just keep doing battles like that. When cards get used, exhausted, they get focused, and you can double focus something, so it's like tapped out for two turns. Love that element. And then, you know, just all these extra cards and those these edge battles where you take cards from your hand. At the start of your turn, I love it. You get to draw back up to six, so it really encourages you and entices you to use your cards a lot, not sit on them, which I think is awesome. Yeah, it's just a really well-designed game. Kathy and I play this a lot. I really enjoy it. I'm now more casual with it. Here's your deck. It's got, you know, Han, Chewie, the Falcon. Play that deck. This one over here has Luke and Obi-Wan and Yoda. Play that deck. Keep them really themed in terms of that. One of the things people didn't like is this has a pod system. So you get six cards that all come together, and then you take 10 of those pods, and that's your 60-card deck. Does that sound right? Is it a 60-card deck, or are they fives? Oh, my gosh. Oh, no. I can't believe I can't remember. Nah, there's six cards at a time, and you take 10 of them. Somebody's going to tell me otherwise. But anyway, and you put all those together, that's how you make your deck. Now, those pods, they're definitely not evenly balanced. They didn't do a great job there, so that bothers some people. But if there's one where you really want a card, throw one in, but one that's so good, throw two in. So tournament-wise, I can understand this game gets a little wonky on that front, but I'm just playing casual. It's so good. Every game is so close. And even if you look at the score and you're like, oh, you totally crushed me, there was a moment that there was like that chance that you were going all in and you were going for it. And if you just had this one card, or they just had that one card, or whatever, that it's going to work out in your favor. And it's just great, epic Star Wars moments in this game. So really give it a try if you haven't. There's a ton of stuff at our store, I know. I love this game. I'm talking about it, and now I want to go play it right now. So it's really, really, really good. It's one of my most underrated games of all time, I think. It's quite enjoyable. And that leaves my number one Star Wars game of all time. I am guessing that many of you have already figured out what it is. So that is Star Wars Rebellion. So this is the big, epic, quote-unquote, Star Wars in a box game that came out from Fantasy Flight Games last year. I don't own the expansion, but I've played the expansion with John at the store. It's great. It's pretty much a no-brainer expansion. So my big issue with Rebellion is I don't have a lot of people that play it with me regular, and it's two-player. So I haven't bought the expansion kind of for that reason until somebody says, yeah, let's play it on this Tuesday night. Then I'm going to get the expansion. We're going to throw that in. Sounds good. The game is just awesome. It's just so fun. It's this cat-and-mouse hide-and-seek game with great Euro worker-placing mechanisms and then battles that are totally on the other end. The way they reworked the battles was much better. I don't know that the battles are better, but they're streamlined. And in this case, that's better because the game moves so quick. And now the combat moves quick with that expansion. So right there alone, just for that combat streamlining, the expansion's totally worth it. But yeah, Star Wars Rebellion, I would play monthly if somebody played it with me. I just think it's so good. It's so fun. It's a good, you know, head-to-head brain game. And it gets down to 2 hours. It's not this 4 or 5 hour epic game that people talk about it. Once you know all the cards, it's 2 hours. You just fly through it, or not even knowing the cards, just familiarity with the cards and with the concepts. So that is my favorite Star Wars game of all time. Let me know what I missed, because I probably missed some in there somewhere, and people are screaming and yelling at me. Don't forget about this one, and let me know what your favorite game is. You can email me, portalgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Or you can just tweet me on Twitter, @PortalGaming60, and tell me your favorite Star Wars games or those ones that I missed. And with that, we will wrap up episode 74, The First Order. So I'll have to make a second order, I guess, at some point. Say goodbye to everybody, and Merry Christmas again. I hope You just have a great season here. A happy new year. I hope you get lots of chances, like I said, to play games and do lots of other things. Thanks so much for listening to us all this time. 74 episodes. It's crazy. It's like 3.5 years or something doing this. I don't even know. 2.5 years? I can't even remember what our first episode was. But this is really fun. And I know it sounds silly to you, but I thank the portal just for giving me this opportunity, to having this crazy idea of like, what if a store had a